Have you ever walked on water? Obviously not physically, but spiritually. Hey, have you ever heard the Lord's call to you and taken a step of faith to respond to Him? The old phrase is certainly true. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. So here's the question. Have you gotten out of the boat? Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I'm joined in the studio today by my favorite all-time radio co-host slash guest, Debbie Shreve.
Ooh, look at theirs.
And Debbie and I are going to talk today about faith, about getting out of the boat, about hearing the Lord's voice and responding to Him. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is the goal. That is the format the Lord has set up for us. It's not easy for us to walk by faith and not by sight because we are conditioned to circumstances, but we need to hear His voice and respond. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and faith is simply doing what God calls you to do. So to set this up, I want to read from Matthew 14, the passage about Peter walking on the water. It says that the disciples were in the boat. Jesus was not with them. He was on land praying for them. And it says the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So they're in a windstorm on the sea. And in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, 3 a.m., the Lord came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. We'll stop there. Hey, if you're going to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. And Peter is the only mere mortal who has ever walked on water. Jesus can walk on water because He is the God-man, but Peter was the only disciple who walked on water. He's the only person, mere mortal, that's ever walked on water. If you're going to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. Now, Debbie, in our story, how the Lord worked in our lives, it is a testimony of hearing the Lord's voice and getting out of the boat. So I came to you 1995, in July of 1995. I was a salesman for Nalco Chemical Company. Here we were, married, teaching a Sunday school class at Champion Forest Baptist Church, three little girls. Life was very good from your perspective. Mm-hmm. I was very restless in my job, just thinking God has something more for me. It was on a Wednesday night in the fellowship hall at Champion Forest Baptist Church. My friend Dr. Rich Halcombe was preaching and talked about hearing the Lord's voice, stepping out on the Lord's call. And it was that night the Lord called me into the ministry, very clearly called me into the ministry. I came home and told you, and your response was,
"That was not God's voice that you heard." Because I just was so happy. I thought our life was just so great. And I was not in any way, shape, or form interested in being in ministry at all. I had grown up in a fish bubble with my dad being a pastor at a smaller church. And I had seen a lot of the dysfunction that went along with that. And as a result, I was not very interested at all in ministry. In fact, to the point that if I dated someone and they mentioned that they felt led to do that, I didn't date them anymore because I just did not want that for my life. So when you came home and told me that, to say that it pulled the rug out from underneath me would be a very mild description of how I felt, because I just thought, okay, everything that I know is now no longer there. You know, you have just changed all the rules on everything. And I remember very distinctly saying to you, if I would have known you were going to do this, I would have never married you, because I just was so opposed to this thing. Now, I never once doubted that God had called you, because I knew you were so introverted when we first met, so quiet and very knowledgeable on the Bible. But I mean, you didn't speak four words in a group of people. And so when you started teaching a Sunday school class, and God just continued to bless it, and you were just so gifted in that area to be up in front of people and teaching and sharing God's word. So when you told me that, I was not in doubt that God had called you. I was very much in doubt that God had called me to be your helpmate in that, and for our family to be going down that particular track. And that's what really, really unnerved me. And the odd thing about it is, I love change. I'm a person, that's just my personality type. I love change, but I'm not super adventurous. And so that's kind of like a, you know, exactly. So it was very unnerving to me to think that everything in our life that was so settled, quote unquote settled, so sure, was all of a sudden upended on me. And so it was quite an adventure in terms of what God had to do and work in my heart to get me to the place where I was ready to accept that. And I remember you asked me, well, can you pray about it? And I said, no, I don't need to pray about it. I know that I don't want to do this, you know? And then you said, well, can you pray about praying about it? So then, you know, what am I going to say to that? So I really did. When I told you that I would pray about being willing to pray about it, I did that. And over the course of the next several months, God started to really do a work in my heart and to change my heart in terms of my ability and willingness to surrender to his plan.
Yeah, so when you started doing the Henry Blackaby study, Experiencing God, I know that that would, you didn't like that.
Oh my gosh, that study would make me so mad. I would be doing it and I would just slam the book and put it in the drawer and think, forget it, I'm not doing this anymore. But I'm one to complete everything that I start. And so I would just be so convicted, like, oh, don't be a quitter. You know, you committed to doing this. Get that book back out and we're going to finish this thing. And so, I mean, I can't even remember the amount of times that book made me mad. And I would just put it back in the drawer and wouldn't look at it again for days because it would just make me so mad.
Yeah, I think it took you a good, what, how long before you were saying, hey, I'm willing to do this?
Oh, gosh, months and months. I mean, it really was. Now, and I will say this, in the course of that metamorphosis in me, that change in me, you were very, very patient with me. You didn't push me. You didn't guilt me. You didn't do anything to try and manipulate me into getting on board and doing what you wanted me to do. You were very, very patient with me. And I think had you not have been like that, I probably, just because of my stubbornness, I would have probably just dug my heels in and said, nope, not going to do this. You know, you choose, because I'm not choosing. You choose which way we're going to go. You do this or you keep me and the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you played an instrumental role in that in terms of just being very patient with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when you told me, you said, Jeff, I'm not on your same page, but I'm in your book.
Right.
And I believe that God has called you, and I believe God has called me to be your wife.
Right.
So I'm all in. And then you began to research seminaries and,
right.
You know, Pastor Shook told me, and early on, hey, a call to preach is a call to prepare, so you need to go to seminary. I didn't want to go to seminary. I thought, oh, man, I'm done with school. School's out for summer. School's out forever, when I graduated from the University of Texas in 1984. But now here it was, 1995, and July of 1995 when God called me. We didn't go to go to seminary until the summer, June of 1996, because you had to get on board, and then I had to resign my job, and we had to tie up some loose ends. But we got out of the boat. It was scary. I didn't have a job. We went with one vehicle all loaded up, and
a U-Haul
that some friends drove to all the way to North Carolina for us. And I had $8,000 in the bank, and we were just trusting God that He was going to provide for us, provide a job, and
No job, no insurance,
right? So,
which was scary with three kids.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
I still remember your dad. Debbie's dad was a pastor for 50 plus years before the Lord took him home to heaven. But I remember telling him, hey, God's called me in the ministry. And I was so excited. I thought he'd be excited since he was a pastor. He just started grilling me. He's like, wait a minute, how are you going to provide for your family? I said, I don't know. I'm just trusting God. Well, what are you going to do about health insurance? I said, I don't know. I'm going to trust God. And he's, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And I was like, I don't know the answer to these questions. I just know that God's called me. I said, Abraham didn't know when God called him and said, go. And Abraham said, where? And God says, I'll show you when you get there. I said, Abraham didn't know. I don't know. And I remember him saying to me, he said, yeah, but you're not Abraham. And man, that hurt. And I was thinking to myself, I thought this guy was going to be supportive of me being called in the ministry. I thought that was going to be a, man, that's so awesome, Jeff. Get out of the boat. You've heard the Lord call you. So he said, you're not Abraham. And the Lord put this in my heart, my response to him. And I said, well, you know what? When God called Abraham, he wasn't Abraham either. He was Abram. I said, he stepped out in faith and God changed his name to Abraham. And Gerald said, well, that's true. I mean, he couldn't deny that. And but it was hard for him. I mean, his daughter, his only daughter, his only child, and her three kids are getting ready to move from Houston, where he lived, to North Carolina, Wake Forest, North Carolina. So that was a big, big adjustment for him, and a hard move for sure.
Yeah, and when you look at it as now, as being adults who have adult children with kids, you know, being grandparents, like, whoa, that would have really been hard.
Yes.
You know, would have been really, really hard to have not been fearful and, you know, are you sure you're doing the right thing? And, you know, that kind of thing. So
the Lord provided for us a nice house to rent.
Sold our house in Houston.
We sold our house, and everything kind of fell into place as God provided for our needs. And my company, Nalco Chemical Company, hired me back as a part-time salesman service rep for them, and it paid me, I think at that time, it was like $18 an hour, which was really good pay back in 1996 when we went. Mm-hmm. Then they ended up giving us health insurance, which was huge. We didn't have any for a while, but then they added that to my employment package. And so things were good. You were working at the Baptist bookstore.
Well, I taught school first. I taught high school part-time
right.
for a while, and then resigned that job and worked at the Baptist bookstore.
And so that was a fun job for you. Didn't pay really well, $5 an hour, if I remember correctly. Okay. But it was close to the house and everything. We were close to campus. So it was a really good year for our family. Mm-hmm. And then I started pastoring a little church, Brown's Baptist Church in Norlina, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Did that for about 6 months. And then Pastor Shook called in May of 1997 and said, hey, why don't you come back to Champion Forest? You can be my assistant. I'll train you. You can go to seminary at the Extension School at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so the Lord led us back to Houston to be on staff at the church where we met, the church where all our kids were baptized. It's a special, special time. And we were there for 5.5 years learning and growing in ministry. And then in 2003, God called us to First Baptist Church Texarkana. And that's where we're going to pick up the story when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And Debbie and I are talking about getting out of the boat, hearing the Lord's voice, and being willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Hey, it's scary, but it is so worth it. You're safer on the waves with Jesus than in the boat without Him. When you hear His voice, leave the boat, walk on the water with Him. We'll be right back.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit engagemagazine.net.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The thing that solidified the reality that you were my wife was your heart for God. When the scripture says, he that finds a wife. So I began conferring with my pastor in New Orleans the whole time. I would tell him about you, tell him when we, you know, when we spend time together. And he said, Abe, spend some time praying and ask God to reveal her heart to you and write down what the Lord shows you, and which is what I did.
It was all God. It was really God, because when you did that, you followed the instruction of your pastor and God revealed to you who I was. God showed you things that you couldn't have known at that moment in our short time meeting each other. I was so grateful because it showed me that you hear from God. And I was at that moment convinced that the only place to live is in the middle of God's will. Like, I knew that was a part of the foundation that God would have us to build for our marriage, you know, going forward.
Tune in to By Design, Saturday afternoons at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Debbie and I are here today talking about getting out of the boat and walking on the water, not physically, but spiritually with the Lord, hearing his voice. As the Lord said to Peter, or Peter said to the Lord first, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water with Jesus. That's the only way to live the Christian life. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we're sharing our story, how God worked in our lives. And it's not a perfect story, and it's not a story of perfect faith, because just as Peter had a sinking spell on the water, we've had sinking spells too, where you get your eyes on the circumstances and get them off the Savior, and you begin to sink. But here's the good news. You don't have to sink if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. So it was the year 2003 when God called us to First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I had never been the senior pastor before.
And I had never heard of Texarkana before. I remember thinking, is there a Walmart there? I thought, we're going to the prairie. I've never heard of this place in my life. But anyway, yeah, well, here we are. And now we'd be so hard to leave. We just absolutely love it.
Yes. It's been a wonderful experience. We came in 2003, and not without some bumps in the road.
Sure.
We were here 6 months, and they were talking about maybe we should get rid of Pastor Jeff. So there was a petition going around, and people didn't like the changes that I was making. I was initially saying, well, I'll just wait. We'll wait for about 6 months. I'll get to know people before we make any changes. But I just saw a lot of things that this isn't right. This is just so stuck in tradition and not following the Lord and not getting out of the boat. It's just like, well, that's the way we've always done it. And, you know, First Baptist Texarkana is an old established church in the 1800s, 1860 something. I forget the exact date, but it's been around a long time. So they were having, or 1880 something, they were having their 125th anniversary as a church when we came in 2003.
Don't you think that's true, though, of just people in general? We like change when we're the initiators of change, but having change forced upon us, most people just don't like it.
No.
Right?
They don't like it. And so we made changes, and they didn't like it. But anyway, it was a big Sunday in June, and I preached a sermon called When God Moves Your Cheese, and talked about change and how we have to be willing to change. Otherwise, we're just going to miss the Lord, and we don't, you know, you're anchored to the Word, but you have to speak in a language that people understand. You have to have a culture that people can latch on to, and it can't just be stuck in, you know, the 1970s. And so that Sunday, the Lord really broke all the bad spirit. I told the church, I said, God has called me here to move us forward. We're not going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. We're not going to go back to Egypt. We're going forward. We're going into the promised land. And they responded with a standing ovation. And it was really an awesome experience to see God really show up and turn the tide. And so as Nathan Wright told me after that experience, Dr. Nathan Wright, who was the chairman of the Pastor Search Committee, he said, you became the pastor today. And
well, I was thinking even during the break, knowing that we were going to be going into this conversation, how God in his wisdom taught me early on in our marriage in terms of us moving to North Carolina and you changing careers, the importance of just surrendering to his will. And I just think as I look back on our life in ministry, how often I've had to go back to that point of being willing to surrender in ministry and to do what God wants us to do, not necessarily what our flesh wants us to do, but what the Lord wants us to do. Because in those first months that we were here, when people were very disgruntled with you, that was a difficult time for me. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, hey, don't like me, that's fine. Say something negative about my husband or my kids, I'm coming after you. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the mama bear concept. And so it was yet again a lesson of what does surrender look like? Surrender looks like, hey, I may not understand what God's doing and I may not like my circumstances, but I'm going to trust him until he tells me something different. And so I think both of us have learned that so much along the way, that continual reminder of it's all about surrendering to the Lord, all about being obedient to what he calls you to do. And that was a big lesson for us.
Well, it was an important lesson, and God has been so faithful to us over the years. And one of the things that was a big move was came in late 2004. So the church, one of the things I really liked about the church when I first came here was they had a television ministry. And God had put into my heart early in ministry about radio and television. And so the church had a television ministry. They had started it in 1959. Which was a big deal because television, you know, really started in homes in the early 50s. And so First Baptist Texarkana had the vision to, we're going to do this. And it was expensive to do that, but they invested the money. And so it was on a local station, and then it became a Shreveport station, Shreveport, Louisiana. And so we were on there for a long time. But it was really just church on TV. It really wasn't a TV ministry. They weren't thinking about the people at home. And so I said, well, let's make this really targeted for the people that aren't here. Let's not show announcements and people walking in and the organ prelude beforehand. That's just kind of, you know, filler time. Let's make it really pointed for that person that's at home, that shut in, or that person in prison, or that person in the hospital, or what have you. And so that we did that, and we made the program as good as we could make it. And then I felt the Lord put in my heart, let's start a national ministry. And so we did, came up with From His Heart Ministries in late 2004, and began our first program on national TV, a small station called Family Net, in 2005, January 2005. Now, I had two guys, unsolicited, help me get started. One gave me $20,000 and one gave me $15,000. And so that's what I had, $35,000. I thought, man, this is great. I got enough money for Family Net for a year, and I got enough money for a website. And then I went to my first National Religious Broadcasters Convention in 2005 in Los Angeles, and I met my friend Carl Townsend, and I started to get the inkling that $35,000 is not going to be enough to get this off the ground. And I asked Carl, I said, Carl did a lot of work with Adrian Rogers, and I had such tremendous respect for Adrian Rogers and his ministry. And I asked Carl, I said, okay, Carl, how much money do I need to get this thing going? And he said, oh, you need about $500,000 in the war chest. And I said, excuse me, $500,000? I said, there's no way I can come up with $500,000. I have $35,000, enough to last for a year on Family Net, and with their massive following of, you know, 50 viewers. And anyway, he said, well, that's what it's going to take. And so I went home. I was pretty discouraged, and I talked to you about it. And it's just like, I think we may just need to shut this down right at the beginning. And I was just thinking, there's no way. And God really convicted me and said, well, there's no way for you, but there's a way for me. I'm the Lord of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? And so God convicted my heart to say, Jeff, you're not trusting me. You're walking by sight and not by faith. And so I repented and said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm going to believe you. If this is really of you, just like Peter, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water with Jesus, or toward Jesus. And so I said, okay, Lord, I don't see how this is going to happen, but I trust you.
I remember saying to you too, if God wants this to work, he's got to come up with the money. Because there's no way that we can manipulate getting that kind of money. I mean, it's just impossible. So if he wants this for us, and if this is the vision he has placed in your heart, then he is obligated to provide the funds for that. And so we've just got to wait and just see what he's going to do.
Yes, and it was about 2 weeks after that that I got a letter in the mail, a check in the mail, unsolicited, from a guy in our church for $100,000. I was totally blown away. I remember driving to his office and just with tears in my eyes, just saying, wow. And then he talked to his parents, and about a month later, they supported us, $100,000. And then about 6 months later, the church said, well, we'll support you. And they supported $100,000. And so by the end of 2005, I had $300,000. So it wasn't 500, but it was God's way of saying, I can do what you can't do. So one of my favorite sayings, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. And as you trust him, and if it's of the Lord, he's going to provide. Where God guides, he provides. Where he doesn't guide, he doesn't provide. You know, I think about Jonah. When Jonah was going the wrong way, he got on a ship going to Joppa, and he paid the fare. When you're doing what God wants you to do, God pays the fare. God provides. You're going in the wrong direction. It's on you. But we were going in the right direction. God wanted us to do that. He provided the funds for it. And so here we are. All these years later, this was from 2005 to today, August 24th, Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. God has blessed From His Heart Ministries, and From His Heart Ministries is heard on hundreds of radio stations, heard around the world, on television, and the program, I just got the numbers from my engineer, 180 radio stations in over 30 states across the country. And then that's just AFR, plus the other radio stations we're on, plus Trinity Broadcasting Network and the NRB station and Calvary Satellite Network, all these different networks that we're on. And people hear the gospel all over the world because of From His Heart and the faithful supporters of From His Heart. So it's really been a God thing, and it's been amazing to see.
Well, and it's not been without its ups and downs, because we've had different times throughout the years in the course of the ministry where we have hit some rough times financially, and we've had to kind of pull back and regroup and get off some stations and kind of get our finances back in order. But the one thing I think that has caused God's favor to be upon us so much is that we have never bitten off more than we could chew. So we have never gone in debt over anything. We always have the funds available before they are spent. And I think we have been, by God's grace, we've been wise stewards of the monies that people have entrusted to our ministry. And we have used those wisely. We have used those for kingdom expansion, and God's blessed that, and He's blessed our ability to take care of those funds. He's guided us into where we need to make those different types of investments and where we need to use our resources. And it's just it's been cool to just see God move and work within this ministry over the course of these past 18 years, 17, 18 years.
Well, and one of the things when I began, when we began From His Heart Ministries, I said, I'm never going to take, by God's grace, I'm never going to take any income from His Heart. I'm going to be a volunteer. And so I can stand up and ask people to support me as we share the gospel, but none of it goes to me. I'm a volunteer, and I'm a generous supporter of From His Heart Ministries. You know, we live in a day and age where televangelists, you know, live in these massive houses and have all this, you know, just send in your $1,000 pledge, and this guy's living in a, you know, a 8,000 square foot mansion and all that. Well, we don't do that. And so anytime anyone gives, all that goes to furthering the broadcast. It doesn't go to me. And the church is good to take care of us and to provide for our needs as pastor at First Baptist Texarkana. And so I think that's been a great thing for people, because it's opposite of what so many do. I'm not knocking the people that do that. Paul got paid. People took care of him. He was a bivocational tent maker in Corinth, but then he began to just devote himself completely as people took care of his needs. So I'm not knocking that, but it's not for me. And I want people to know, when they give to From His Heart Ministries, all their gift goes to furthering the broadcast.
Well, and I think it's interesting too to see how God has brought different people into our ministry at exactly the time that we needed them to be able to expand and to grow. And I know just my own involvement in the ministry, I had absolutely zero accounting training, none. And so when we first started, it was you and me. And so I paid all the bills. I sent out all the donation letters. I made the CDs. I mean, I did everything. And just to see how God blessed that, and He has enabled me to learn along the way. And so now here I am, you know, the administrator of all of this. And because of my anal bookkeeping, I've always just had everything that we've needed. And God's just been so gracious to us in that way.
Amen. When we come back from the break, we will be taking your calls, and we'd love to hear how the Lord has provided for you, how you got out of the boat and responded to the Lord's call to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, that doesn't mean everything's going to go smoothly. Everything hasn't gone smoothly for us, but it does mean that you're going to live an exciting life of faith, trusting God every step of the way. As we talked about earlier this week, it is better to live in faith or to die in faith than to live in doubt. You don't want to walk in doubt, live in doubt. You want to trust God. So the number to call, 888-589-8840. We'll be taking your calls. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, during Creation Week, what kinds of fish were created?
Chris, the Bible says God created each of the animals after their kind. It says on day 5 of Creation Week that the fish were the first truly living creature that He created. This was the first use of the term living. On day 3, it created plants, but these are never in Scripture referred to as living in the sense that they had blood or the breath of life. Plants are biologically alive, of course, but not living in the sense of having consciousness. On day 5, however, the Bible says that the oceans were literally teeming with life. Each basic type of fish was created at that point. Since that time, a lot of varieties, say of the cod or the bass or the sharks, have arisen, but no new basic kinds. God created all things after their kind, back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm here with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about walking by faith and not by sight. We're talking about getting out of the boat, hearing the Lord's voice, getting out of the boat, and walking on the water with Jesus, the exciting life of faith. And Abraham believed God, and he stepped out in faith, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Well, we're taking your calls in this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear about your story, about how you got out of the boat, how you took a step of faith, and how God showed himself to be faithful and true. Well, we have John on the line from Texas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, sir. I'm glad I'm listening to you this morning.
Oh, good. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, you didn't clarify. A lot of people might have thought you were talking about the son, Carrie Shook, and I know you were speaking of Damon, right?
Yeah, Damon.
Yes, sir, Damon. I was there just working on his telephones one weekday, and long story short, I was wearing my Jesus is Lord pin on my umpire cap, which back in the day you could wear anything when you were playing phone man. And he set me down in his office and said, I want you to explain to me why you're wearing that Jesus is Lord pin. And what I wanted to tie this to is I had just been to a Wayne Watson concert, who I know he should be a friend of yours if you were there that long. I'd just like for you to speak to getting to take part in that ministry. I hope you did. Giants in the Land really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. I got to teach 7th and 8th grade for 10 years at another church local to y'all. And I just had no idea that you came from his church and you built your ministry out of that place. You see what I'm asking you is how did having a music man in your church like that really further y'all's your whole church effort?
Yeah, good question. Wayne and I were not buddies. I mean, I think he might know who I am. Obviously, I knew who he was. I have to tell this story.
So it's a funny story. I was just thinking about it.
So I'm very conservative. Debbie used to call me Pat Buchanan, just in the way I dress and things like that. And I still remember at Champion Forest, this is back in the 80s, I was teaching Sunday school. I wasn't keeping up with music. I didn't know who Wayne Watson, I knew the name Wayne Watson, but I didn't know that he went to the church there or whatever. And he and I were standing together outside waiting for the first service to let out so the second service could go in. And I saw this guy, and he had a weird haircut. He was wearing weird clothes, you know, how musicians back in the 80s would do. And I thought to myself, man, that guy, he's probably a visitor. He's probably not a Christian.
Yeah, you tell me. I think that guy's lost.
He must
Maybe
be
I should
lost.
Talk to him.
Just look at him. He looks like a lost guy. And I need to witness to that guy. And I chickened out and didn't do it. And I was like, I must have told you.
You
or
did.
Something.
I told you. I said, Jeff, that's Wayne Watson.
Yes. So that was Wayne Watson. So I guess I was glad I didn't do that. But it just shows how, you know, back then I was judging things by how Jesus says, don't judge by appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. And I didn't do that. And hopefully I've grown in that area. But yeah, God used Wayne Watson in great ways. And it was wonderful to be at Champion Forest back in that time period. And like I said, Wayne and I weren't pals or anything hanging out. But it was a privilege to get to meet him, get to know him a little bit. And but Damon Shook was the one that really ministered to me and taught me so many things. And then his sons, Mark and Carrie, especially his younger son, Brent. But Mark and Carrie were instrumental in my life, especially Mark. He's my age, and he helped me a lot. Dear friend to this day. So, John, thanks for calling. God bless you, my brother. I appreciate you calling in today. Well, we have Carl on the line from Arkansas. Carl, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Former Texarkans, and I spent 12 years there coaching swimming at Texas High.
Hey.
I remember y'all moving there.
Yeah.
So nice to talk to some home folk. Hey, my question is, you're talking about stepping out in faith. I'm interviewing for a position up in Siloam Springs at a camp, and feel called by the Lord to do that. Whether I'm going to get the job or not, who knows? But if I do get it, it's going to move me 3 hours away from my parents. They're in their 80s, and you know, getting at that point where we all have our parents that they need some help, and you know, and just kind of caught between what's God's will for me to go and do, and what's the biblical admonition to honor your mother and father, and just don't really know where to go with that. So any advice you might have would be much appreciated.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Carl. Thanks for the question. You know, all those things boil down to the core issue. What does God want you to do? And that's the struggle, because God doesn't normally, you know, put a letter in our mailbox, this is what I want you to do. And we don't necessarily hear a voice from heaven, Carl, do this. So you have to seek the Lord. But the prayer is, God, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go to this particular city, take this job, I'm willing to do that. If you don't want me to do that, I'm willing to do that too. Obviously, being close to your mom and dad as they get older, on paper, sure looks like a major plus. But I always encourage people this way. When you have a decision to make like that, especially as it relates to a job, as it relates to a move, let the peace of God, it says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. And that word rule is to rule kind of like an umpire. An umpire will call strikes and balls, fair and foul. Let God's word umpire, or God's peace umpire in your heart. So if you're getting ready to do something that the Lord doesn't want you to do, this is not God's will for you, you're getting ready to move in a direction that's not His will, you're going to feel a lack of peace. And I would pray that, Lord, if I'm getting ready to do something you don't want me to do, then make it very clear to me, because I want to do your will. And God will make it clear through His peace or lack of peace. If you're getting ready to do and make a decision what God wants you to do, it doesn't mean you're not going to have some nervousness or some cold feet, some doubts, but there's going to be an underlying peace that this is what God has for me. This is what He wants me to do. And Jesus said, John 7:17, if any man is willing to do His will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God. So when we're willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do, He's going to be faithful to show us, that's what I want you to do. When we want God to rubber stamp our will, God, I want to do this, so I want you to tell me that that's what you want me to do. He's never going to answer that, because you're going to do whatever you want to do anyway. So God says, well, just do your will. We can't come to the Lord with our will. We come wanting His will. And if you're willing to do His will, you'll know of the teaching whether it is of God. He will be faithful to show you what He wants you to do. So, Carl, thanks for calling in today, and thanks for that question. And I will pray for you, too, that the Lord just makes it crystal clear the direction He wants you to go as you walk by faith and not by sight. So God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Alan from North Carolina. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor Jeff, thank you for taking my call. There's so many things that you said in y'all's testimony that really resonate, but I'm originally from Texas, born and raised there, but I retired from the Army here at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I love kids, and so, and I have a master's degree, so with my VA, then I could get up to a doctorate of divinity and the government would pay for it. But I was involved in a small ministry called Concerned Methodist, where we're contending for the faith in the Methodist Church. But I love kids, and I was a volunteer with them. And so I was thinking about going to seminary, and I was debating either Southeastern or Southwestern. And Pastor Jeff, this doesn't happen often, but I felt the words in my spirit says, I'll let you know when I want you to go to seminary. And honestly, I just stopped, and I gave a military salute, and I said, yes, Lord. So I've had my main focus on Concerned Methodist, and the Lord has blessed us in an amazing way. All of us are complete volunteers. And Pastor Jeff, I have a question for you. I wanted to say a couple of things how the Lord has blessed our ministry. But our publication, the Christian Methodist Newsletter, now goes out to over 17,000 people in churches from coast to coast to Alaska. And we're known with some of the delegates overseas. But again, we're all volunteers. And then I thought, well, I'll never take a cruise because they cost so much. But there was one of the members of our advisory board, her daughter worked for a travel agency in Marietta, Georgia. And then I got a call one day, said that I could go on a one-week cruise, but I'd have to make a decision in the next 3 days, and it would cost me $100. And I couldn't go to Motel 6, and so I jumped on that. But anyway, a question I have for you, Pastor Jeff, is I'm a volunteer, and I've never been happier in my life in doing that. And do you get the same feeling, you know, in volunteering, you know, with what you're doing?
I do. It's a great experience, and to know that you know, nothing is motivated by money, because you're not getting paid any money. and to know that you know, God is using what He's called me to do. He's using that in lives. That is very enriching. And then just to hear from people, you know, that say, "Hey, I read something you wrote, or I heard something you preached, and it really caught my attention, and because of that, I've come to know Christ." I got an email from a lady just the other day. She was in some country in Africa. She didn't specify which, but she said, "I was ready to kill myself." And she said, "I heard something you say about, you know, it's never that bad. You can trust God." And she said, "So I just wanted to thank you, because after that day, I just decided I'm not going to do that." And she's in a much better place today. And so, great feeling. Anytime you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, there's a tremendous sense of peace and purpose and just a blessing from God, because He wants us to do His will. And when we do His will, we are indeed blessed. So thank you, Alan, and God bless you in your ministry. Well, we have Syra from Texas on the line. Am I saying that right? Syra?
Tyra, T-Y-R-A.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. There was a C on the screen. Yeah. So, Tyra, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Yes. Pastor Jeff, I kind of count you as my second pastor, because I love to listen to you Sunday mornings before I get ready for church and every afternoon at 6. But I wanted tell you, I was saved, well, when I was 12, but I've known Jesus all my life, one of those kind of kids. And I've known forever that God wanted me to be a witness for Him. But I was afraid, and I was told that I could just let people see my life, how good I was, and that would lead them to Jesus, but it didn't do it. So I am now 75, and the Lord has finally, I stepped out of that boat, finally. I've been fearful, but I still wanted to witness for Him. And He has given an opportunity 24/7, anytime, day or night. We are able to go on a Christian chat line called Groundwire. And we can talk to people from all over the world. And we listen, we get their calls because they've seen a video and on social media expressing desire for getting help from Jesus. And so they come, and they give us their problem, and we try to tell them we care about them. But our main intention, of course, is to lead them to Christ. And it has been a blessing. And I know I'm finally getting out on that water and walking. And it has just been a joy. This particular ministry, last year, over 92,000 professions of faith, and this year at the mid-year point we had already reached that. So the enemy is busy, but so is the Lord, and so we're seeing many people come to Christ. We don't get them all, but we do get to share the gospel with them.
Amen. So what a great
step in the water.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm so glad you shared that. So it's never too late to get out of the boat. It's never too late to let God use your life. And so, Tyra, thank you for calling and sharing that. That's very encouraging for all of us to hear. Well, we've been talking about getting out of the boat today, and God wants us to do that. It is better to die in faith than it is to live in doubt, and trust God to use you. Debbie, thanks for being my guest today on the program. You are so beautiful and the best guest ever.
The bestest.
So just encourage you today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you because He wants to use you. You are called to be His witness and His ambassador. So do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.